you know, the question being, Second John, the address to the elect lady, and we are endeavoring to determine who this elect lady is, and, you know, in reference to also to our children. And let me just go here real quick and see if I can get any other information as I'm looking through this.
Recording here. Stopped. Recording in progress.
Okay. That's okay, Skipper. We got it. And let's see. It doesn't seem to be an official title. You know, it talks about the said that if you look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, and this is as per a note that I'm seeing in Bullinger's, you know, commentary on this. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. That saying, the word there, word elect, you know, has the indication there of also meaning excellent, according to him. The word lady, is the Greek word kuria. It's actually the feminine of the word kurios, which of course is the Greek word for Lord. He seems to indicate that that seems to be a name of an actual proper name of an individual. And that's about all there is to it, really. I mean, you know, the idea is in terms of, you know, this lady really pretty much, you know, when you look at these letters, particularly by the Apostle John, there's a lot of emphasis on the term Antichrist, okay? Because this is the time of Antichrist, okay? You know, like in verse 7 here, you know, many deceivers are entered into the world to confess not that Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and Antichrist, okay? And what you need to understand there is that this coming, give me a hold on for a second. Skipper, could you go and adjust the meeting settings so that there's no sound coming in and out when just having a little trouble here. Okay, there we go. All right. People coming in and out, you won't have the buzzing go there. Okay. Getting back to the text here, it's important to understand that this coming, when it talks about the denier of you know, the Antichrist, who is a denier of you know, the Lord actually coming in the flesh. Okay, this is a reference to the future, to again the future coming. The second coming, if you will, of you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? Because those that are, you know, denying that at that time in the tribulation period, they will have already been embracing the false Messiah who's already there on the scene, okay? So this is a very important point of doctrine for those tribulation believers at that time, okay? This lady really, you know, she's kind of representative, really, of the faithful remnant, really, that are going to have to look out for this kind of thing at that time. You know, if you recall, for example, one of the first thing that the Lord told his disciples when they asked him what would be the sign of his coming and his return in Matthew chapter 24, his first warning was about false prophets, wasn't it? If you look at that, you know, the question is asked in verse 3, where it says, as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of that coming and the end of the world, live with the end of the age. That's Matthew 24, verse 3. Verse 4 speaks about, the Lord begins his answer. He says to them, take heed that no man what? Deceive you. You see, it's this idea of deception again, like you see in verse 7 of 2 John. Many deceivers are gone after the Lord. And the deception is claiming to be the Christ and denying basically that the true Christ is coming again in the flesh. Okay? Because he is going to be there posing as the one who has returned. Okay? And so you see that that's going to be a very significant and potent deception in that time. And we're talking about the time of Jacob's trouble, the time of tribulation after the Gentile, predominantly Gentile church, the body of Christ, has been removed from the scene at the rapture. It is no longer the day of grace, but it is now the day of wrath, as it says in the prophets so often. Okay, and particularly Israel's time of unprecedented trouble, according to Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, and also, of course, Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7. All right, so this is the scene at that time, and this is the deception that Israel in particular is going to have to be aware of. And I trust that this kind of answers your question. Does that help you out there, Abel?
Yeah, but not so much, because particularly I wanted, but you did answer it. So this lady was indeed a lady, and she was she holding a high office in a church?
No, she wasn't holding any high office in the church. She was just it's basically who you're admitting into your house and who you're not. You see? It's on an individual basis. So look at verse 10. If there any come to you, any bring not distraction, don't receive them into your house. Right?
Right.
It's an individual that's being addressed here. But she is representative of the nation, as we just said, the faithful remnant, because she said to be the elect lady. Okay? In other words, she belongs to the Lord, okay?
Right.
And her situation is very parallel to what the situation is going to be in Israel's time of trouble. That's that's why this letter is here. Because it's primarily exemplary of what they're going to have to be aware of in that time. Okay?
And investigating the next sister, that's another...
That would be another individual then.
Yeah, well, someone was trying to use this to say that women can still have all of the high offices in the church today.
There's nothing suggestive of that in this letter. It is a personal letter. It's talking about whether you admit someone into your house or you don't admit them into your house. That's verse 10. Okay?
Yeah, was the lady not called an elder in this passage?
No, she was not. The word the word elect there in the Greek, it also has the idea, like we said in 1 Peter 1, 2, of being excellent.
Okay.
It's just descriptive. Okay. But it's an individual letter, and that's clear from verse 10.
Yeah.
All right. But again, the letter is there. Why? Because it's representative of what Israel, the faithful remnant as a whole, are going to have to be aware of in that time of Jacob's trouble, where the Antichrist is going to be posing as the Christ, okay? And the true believers know that the Lord Jesus Christ has not yet come in the flesh, and therefore they're not to be taken in by the one who claims that he's there in the flesh right now, okay? That's going to be a very important thing not to be deceived about in the tribulation, isn't it?
Right.
Okay. And again, it's not just limited to this letter, like we said. Anywhere where you look at the kingdom teaching, like in the gospel accounts in Matthew 24, that's why we went to it. Remember that in the Matthew 24, and here's another interesting verse there. When you consider this issue about deception and who's actually there in the flesh and who is yet to appear in the flesh. Okay. If you drop down to towards the end of Matthew 24, like in the middle there, just before the passage in verses 27 through 31, where you actually have the second coming. But look what it says in verses 23 through 26. And I'm going to read this real slow that you can take this in, because that's exactly the situation in 2 John again. All right. So the Lord warns his disciples again there, starting in verse 23 of Matthew 24. He says, "Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, what? Believe it not." You see, don't be deceived. The one who is posing there as the Antichrist at that time is going to try to deceive and say the Lord's already come. The Lord is saying, if you hear someone say that, don't be deceived, don't believe it, don't go there. Okay? Verse 24. There shall arise false Christ, false prophets, show great signs and wonders, inasmuch that if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect. Of course, a commentary on that verse is Revelation 13, where I think it's like verses 12 through 15 thereabouts, where, you know, the false prophet is calling that fire from heaven, consuming the sacrifice, just like it was done in Elijah's day. Very convincing to the Jews, wouldn't it be? Absolutely. Okay, those wonders there. Okay, so he says in verse 25, "Behold, I have told you before." He told them before. He told them in verse 4 and 5, don't be deceived about these false. He's telling them again. And in verse 26, he says, "Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, don't go forth. Behold, he's in the secret chambers. Believe it not." In other words, the false Christ, well, his coming will be localized, okay? It'll be possible you'll go to a particular place to see him, okay? It'll be there in Jerusalem, okay? Specifically in the temple when he's going to proclaim himself to be the false Messiah there, okay? Don't believe that individual, okay? Why? Because the second coming is not going to be like the coming of the Antichrist. Here's the second coming of verse 27. He says, "For as the lightning comes out of the east and shines even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." His coming is not going to be hidden like the Antichrist. The Antichrist, according to Daniel 11, comes up slowly. He's insignificant at first, and then he finally becomes something. When the Lord returns, it's instantaneous. It's like lightning. Every eye shall see him. Coming in the clouds of grip with great in the clouds of glory, you see, verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, in other words, after the time of Antichrist, shall be the sun be darkened, the moon will not give her light, the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. Then what's going to happen in verse 30? What pierces the darkness? The appearing of Christ, the true Christ. "Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven to all the tribes of the earth." And that's literally of the people. That's of Israel, of the land, really. The tribes of the land. That's the word earth there. You know, Israel's tribes. "They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." Didn't the Lord say at his trial before the Sanhedrin, "You shall not see me henceforth till you say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, and coming in the clouds of glory," Matthew 26:63. Okay? This is it. You see, the true coming of the coming of the true Messiah is instantaneous. Every eye sees him. It's like lightning from the east to the west. You see that again in Revelation chapter 1. That's the coming of the true Christ. Revelation 1:7, behold, he cometh with clouds, the clouds of glory, like we saw in Matthew 24. Every eye shall see him. There won't be any doubt about who it is. They shall, and they'll look upon him whom they pierced. You see? The kindred. So his coming will be instantaneous, lightning quick. Every eye sees him in the heavens. The Antichrist arises up slowly. It's localized. Totally different manifestation. Okay? So don't be deceived by the one who says he's already here. Right? This is an important thing to grasp. Okay?
Right.
The coming of Antichrist is not the same as the coming of the true Christ. And the key difference being the Antichrist comes slowly and locally upon the scene. The coming of the true Christ, instantaneous. The clouds of glory visible to every eye from any part of the earth, right, coming right in a flash. And he's there. He likened it kind of like where the car, you know, like an eagle. Where is it? Matthew 24:28. Just kind of like a visual illustration. In Matthew 24:28. Says, for where, you know, that reference to the coming in verse 27, where it's lightning from the east and the west. He says, verse 28, for where soever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. You know, an eagle sees his prey from very far away. And as soon as he says it, he's right on it. There's no time. From the time that eagle spots that prey, he's right there on the carcass. That's how fast it is. Okay? That's how quick the Lord's coming is, like lightning from the east to the west, and every eye shall see him. His coming is unmistakable, every eye. You're not going to have to be told where he is. Different, just like, you know, the Antichrist, slow, local, you know, people telling you there he is, go, you know, and that's not the way the true Christ comes. And that's why there's going to be that deception. In the tribulation, the followers of Antichrist are going to be denying the future physical appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ because the false Christ is there claiming that for himself as being the returned Christ. And that, in a nutshell, is going to be the deception of the tribulation. Okay, particularly for Israel. Okay. And remember, the tribulation is the time of Jacob's trouble, and that's going to be a key doctrinal issue there. So are we all clear on that now?
I am.
All right. We'll put an end to the recording here.